Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes to us from the prophet of Isaiah. I'll be reading from the 60th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Our next scripture reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew, and I invite you to stand as you are able in the reading of the text from chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Please be seated. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, on this Sunday of Epiphany, where we have celebrated the season of Christmas and the coming of the light of Christ on that holiest nights of Christmas Eve, we begin this journey of recognizing the growth of a Savior and his call to ministry and what his being in the world means for us. So God, illumine these words. Open our hearts, open our minds to hear what you would have us hear this day, that we may follow faithfully in the footsteps of your Son, light of the world. Amen. So we are in that season of Epiphany, and it is actually this really intense season between Christmas and Lent. So today we recognize the coming of the wise men, and then next week we'll celebrate the baptism of Jesus and reaffirm our own baptismal covenants. And as I looked at what is coming from the text, and this is following the Revised Common Lectionary, There are some pretty pivotal moments that are going to come from the gospel according to Luke, yet our texts today come from Matthew. So this is the story of the Magi, right? What's another term we would use to name the Magi? What are some wise men? What else? Huh? Kings, yep. They would have been like the fortune tellers, the astronomers, the ones who would have proclaimed these messages. And when we say from the east, we're talking the far east, right? So if they recognized a star that was unlike anything else they had witnessed in the night sky, they knew that something important had happened. And by this light, they begin to journey to where the star is going to lead them. Now, here's just a FYI, just be aware that sometimes we think that the Magi come to where Jesus is as Jesus is an infant having just been born. But in actuality, that is not the case. It takes a couple of years for them to finally get to where Jesus is. And so in that time, as they're traveling and following the star, Jesus and his parents, Joseph and Mary, escaped Egypt and then bring him back to Jerusalem for his 8 days in the temple. But they go to protect their own lives and eventually go back to the place from which Joseph is from or where they live, which is Bethlehem, right? And so out of Bethlehem comes the Savior of God. So there's quite a bit of time that happens in those 12 days of Christmas that we try to compress into a very short time period, right? How many Magi were there? Does it say that?
No.
No. It does not say that there were three. It is three that we associate because what are the gifts the Magi are bringing? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? So that is where that three comes from. But the text never specifies how many there are. There could have been a whole lot more, but for the sake of our storytelling, we create this image of these three wise men. Exactly. You know, each one has a gift, but there could have been a whole caravan of persons who are making this journey, right? Because it wasn't just, you know, them making this journey, but this was a significant event that they recognized being astronomers and people who studied the skies, right? That there would have been a lot of interest in figuring out what was the purpose or, you know, why this particular event. And when I think about that, how many of you, like, just pay attention and every now and then a new headline comes, be like, the most formed solar system has finally been seen through telescopes, right? Or where the technology has increased and we get glimpses of faraway galaxies. And now there's actually negative time found in space. And it just continues to boggle my mind about how little we know and understand about what is beyond our planet Earth. Right? And there, it would take multitude of lifetimes, if that ever, for us to uncover all of the mysteries and the beauties of the far reaches of the galaxy. There are times where I step off my porch, particularly when it was as cold as it was last night, and I look up and I'm like, oh my gosh, look at all those stars. But what do we know about the light of stars? It takes forever to get here. That the light that we are actually seeing was originated a long, long time ago. Because light, you know, based on laws, travels a certain speed, and it takes that long for it to actually get to us to be able to see it. So what we see, the point of origin may not exist anymore, which is really kind of strange if you think about it, right? Y'all didn't know you were going to get some fun science facts. How am I doing back there, Russell? All right. You know, but this idea, you know, and so this was a significant astrological, astronomical type of event that happened, and they were trying to figure out why this, why now? And as I think about light and what it means, the light that we see now, as I mentioned before, the point of origin may not exist anymore. And yet the light remains and we are able to see it with our own eyes. And as I think about Jesus, is that not also the case? That the light that Jesus brought into the world with his birth still remains with us, that we are seeing that light now, but the point of origin, Jesus, is he still there? No, because we know that his time on earth was finite and that it leads ultimately to the season of Lent and Easter where he suffers, he dies, and yet he is resurrected. And that is the gifts that the Magi are bringing. The gold, the frankincense, and myrrh. How many of you have actually ever picked up like essential oils of frankincense? Yeah, these actually, if y'all aren't aware, would have been the spices and oils and balms that would have been used to prepare a body for its death. Does that shift your understanding of the importance of these gifts? And it echoes the same thing where Mary breaks open a bottle of nard, of expensive perfume, and bathes Jesus' feet with it before he dies upon the cross. That we cannot stand here enjoying the light without recognizing that there was a birth, that there was a life, and there is a death. That all happened before we ourselves are able to witness the beauty of the light of Christ. And yet we are called to continue to follow that light. How many of you have seen the movie The Neverending Story? Yes. And there's this boy, Fred Savage, reading a book in the attic, and he's trying to hear the story of Atreyu and his journey, and the light, this beautiful princess, eventually that light dims and dims and dims, and there's only a little speck that remains. And basically said, you have the power to make this light grow. If only you believe and accept and imagine a different future, right? Am I paraphrasing that well? Am I getting it? And so he does. And so that light grows and there's creation and there's new opportunity. And that light expands and expands and expands. Well, Jesus was that point of light. That in our belief and in our faith and in our following in the footsteps, that light grows and expands and expands. We are called to follow the light, and we are also called to share that light into the world. So today on this Epiphany Sunday, as we remember the Magi who followed a star, we too are reminded to follow that star, that light, to share that gift into the world and yet sit in this in-between of intense ministry and learning about Jesus. Because truly, is there more about Jesus that's yet to be discovered? Probably. Is there more for us to understand? Yeah. Is there more for us to say, hey, what does this life look like of following in the footsteps of Jesus and sharing his light into the world? Is there more for us to learn? You bet. And thank goodness for a God of grace who doesn't leave us in that work on our own. And thank goodness for a community that we share our own individual light, that it may shine brighter, not only here, but also into the world. So friends, later in the service, you may see that there is a table of stars all Methodist clergy were lamenting the fact that all the pre-made stars were missing in the stores. So we have to get creative, right? But these stars, you're going to be invited to choose one. And on it will be a word. Now, for those of you who've been journeying with me for the past couple of years, sometimes we pick a word and we're like, are you kidding? This is really my word for the year, and for us to start our year off with very focused intention. And it may be that our initial gut reaction with that word, we may find halfway through the year, oh, wow, that shifts my perspective of that a little bit, or what that really means. And for me, last year, my word was home. And I got to tell you what a difference a year can make. Because my home did not feel like a home a year ago. And now it does. And to be intentional about how that word has blossomed through the course of the year, that is my hope for you. That you may get a word that you're going to look at it and you'll be like, I don't know what this means. But over the course of the year together and holding that, whether you put it on your bathroom mirror or on your bedside table or tucked in your Bible that you can look at it, I hope that it will give you just a nugget, a speck of that light to cling to see how it will grow throughout this year. Is that cool with y'all? Lots of fun things to do today, but a lot of very good reminders that our journeys are not over, that there is still opportunity for us to grow individually as communities and to make a difference in the world. Because truly, isn't that why Jesus came? That the world may be reconciled fully unto God through right relationship and by grace. Thanks be to God for love that was found in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.